from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk, and I get it. Like, meeting with the media, especially after a game where you suck, it's not fun, but it's pretty much customary and expected and asked out of these guys. It comes with making millions of dollars to have to explain what went wrong or what didn't work. And so he comes up with some malarkey excuse for not doing it, which tells me he was trying to bite his tongue. He didn't want to express his true feelings after a game.
Would
like
you be
that.
Ticked if you were him? If you were him and you had played, I think, right tackle serviceably, maybe that's even not being like very kind to him last year, like being thrown in a pinch. The team looked better regardless of like what PFF graded him or not. Team looked better when he was playing right tackle once he got inserted into the lineup. Would you be annoyed if you were in his shoes and you saw Dan Moore, who isn't good? Everyone watching Dan Moore knows he's not good. Still in there at left tackle, only because he's so bad at right tackle they can't put him over there? That would send a very bad message to me.
Maybe
if I was a
first-round pick. Maybe that's what Broderick Jones is trying to show them. Hey, I can actually do worse than Dan Moore if you put him over here. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'll say this about Dan Moore, who I've really... at one point, you called yourself the chief advocate of Dan Moore. I have never been a Dan Moore fan. The one thing I'll say about him is even in some of these games where he's caused me to pull my hair out, I don't think I've ever seen him look that bad as Jones did on Saturday.
Well, you know why they like him, because he fought his way into a starting spot, and I'm sure he checks all the intangible boxes.
Well, we know why
boxes.
They like Jones, because he's such a physical specimen.
So let him play the position and get the reps at the position you drafted him to effing play.
I don't disagree with that. He should. I do think that this is potentially another issue where the Steelers have botched their handling of young offensive linemen, especially a guy who, by all accounts, was very green because of his lack of playing experience at Georgia. However, the one thing I don't want to do for Broderick Jones in this situation is, regardless of how he feels, I don't think that that's a justification or rationalization for just how bad he played.
I would agree with. He put I actually out, would agree with that.
He put out tape that was like smothered in whale feces. Chris,
he got humiliated by Greg
Rousseau. It was about as bad as I've ever seen.
No, there was a play where Rousseau, I think, just basically shoved him, and he just went backwards like Rousseau was shoving a heavier version of
me. It looked like Aaron Donald against a kid who's probably going to suit up for my Chartiers Houston Buccaneers on Friday.
I worry a lot that Mike Tomlin specifically, and you know I don't usually default to like what's Tomlin's role in all of this. I worry a lot that Mike Tomlin is seduced because we know he loves guys that put their nose to the grindstone and get to work. I wonder how much he's seduced by Dan Moore's. He's a little under-talented for left tackle, but the guy shows up and works every day. Who cares? Put the guy in that's got the talent at the position you drafted him to play. They have played him out of position his entire pro career.
Here's why I agree with that. If you think that Fautanu is really going to be ready for week one, and you actually think that he's going to be available to start that game, which is what Dulac reported.
Which is what Jerry reported, yes.
Then Broderick should start at left tackle against Detroit. So
you
give him a game before the real season starts to just get acclimated and get accustomed to playing the position that he's going to play when the real season gets here.
But here's what I think is going to happen. They're going to, you're 100% right about that. I think they're going to play him at right tackle. I think that when the season starts, they're going to bench him for Fautanu and potentially not put him in right away at left tackle, or maybe if they do, get ticked off if he doesn't look good right away.
So wait a minute. You're suggesting you think that it might be more in Fautanu at the beginning of the year? Did I just hear you say that?
I don't
right?
think that that's out of the realm of possibility if Fautanu's actually going to be ready, or if they do make it Broderick Jones and Fautanu. If they do, they'll get all ticked off, and it'll be, why does Broderick Jones look so out of sorts at left tackle? I don't know, because you didn't give him any actual snaps in the preseason there?
Donnie, you are the football guy, and this is your bread and butter. Are you more mad at the Steelers or Jones for what we watched on Saturday?
I mean, you got to be a little bit mad at both. You're going to say I'm riding the fence, but I mean, this is a case where...
But if you had to pick one where you're more
mad... Yeah, where's your anger more directed towards?
He looked awful, but there was a name you didn't really bring up in this conversation that I think is maybe a cause for concern. That's Pat Meyer. Like what's going on with some of these guys?
So that would be Steelers if you're going to bring the offensive line coach into this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like what is going on with a group that we tell ourselves year after year is going to turn into a top 10 unit? I mean, yeah, there has to be some pressure, some onus on the players here. And he got thrown around like a rag doll in that game on Saturday.
The only time you ever really hear rag dolls brought up now is in a football context, you know?
You never get ragdolled in basketball or baseball.
Like the ragdoll.
Hockey, yeah, you can ragdoll somebody
a little
bit
saying,
in hockey. But I'm just
saying, the football commentary business is keeping ragdolls
when
relevant.
I hear ragdoll. And boy, did he get ragdolled.
When I hear ragdoll, I think of Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy.
Me too.
Those two little redheaded
the red hair
dolls.
Getting
yeah.
just tossed around. I don't disagree with Donnie's description
he
of
got
it by
ragdolled,
any means.
He got ragdolled bad. The one where he and Warren were trying to figure out where the hell they were going was weird. The weird part was, like, so Rousseau made him look bad, and Rousseau's a first-round pick who's had some success in the league. I don't think Greg Rousseau's a bum. I think they misidentified
no, I think
him
he's
briefly
a
as Von
player.
Miller. He's not Von Miller, but, like, he's pretty good. He looked engaged early on, Jones did. Like, I watched him, I, like, zeroed in on him the first couple plays just to see what I was seeing in non-pass protection situations. When they're firing off the ball running, he still looks like a guy who's trying to get after it, trying to get out in space and hit somebody. It was just jarring to see... You know, yes, a guy that you're going to have to block at the NFL level make him look so pathetic.
I'll go back to my theory.
I think he should advocate for himself with Tomlin and say, if you drafted me to be the left tackle, let me be the left tackle.
But I'll go back to my theory on that Fautanu article in the first place. I think more than anybody else, that was about Jones. And I think that article by Jerry was an instrument to try to motivate Jones. There's something about Jones right now that is irking them as a staff. And that's not to let them off the hook and say that they're not culpable or responsible for it. But that's how I read the situation.
I mean, Jones.
That they're trying to do something like, guess what? This guy's barely played right tackle and he's hurt, but we still think he's going to start, which leaves you in a competition for the other job. They're trying to prod this guy. It's the same
thing. Why
are
they not letting him actually play the other position he's competing for?
I don't disagree.
Hey, you're in a competition for this job. The other guy gets all the chances, and then you just have to give us good vibes here.
It makes them, I'm with Donnie, it makes them look really bad. It makes them look awful.
I just want to know what the genesis is. Is it the head coach? Is it the position coach? Like, who is most behind this? Because Omar Khan's words on this should not be ignored.
Here's what he said. I have it.
Versatility on the offensive line is important, and he proved that he could play right tackle, but he was drafted to be a left tackle, and eventually he will be a left tackle. And when that is, you know, time will tell, but he was drafted to be a left tackle.
Jerry's report also, by the way, this doesn't have anything to do with like motivating Jones. It also made me think, it made me worried that they like Jones better in the long run, yes, the talent, but the way he wrote about Dan Moore, he'll be likely to get a four-year, you know, a contract from somebody, a nice deal as a four-year starter. He sucks!
Here's Zach in New Kent. Hello, Zach.
Hey, big fan.
Thank you.
What's up, Zach?
Well, not much. I'm doing good.
Cool.
You threw me off there. Just such a polite question. Anyhow, I think that Fields is like a trump card, and it's going to be about timing. You know, he needs to get in, but he doesn't need high-volume snaps. I think that he's a risk more than a reward at that point. And then with Jones, I think a little too much tough love can cause some trouble, and I think that's what's going on. Is I think that he's in his own head. He's upset. He's played more snaps than anybody in the preseason since last year.
Right.
They gave him the same treatment last year. And, you know, if you go even further back, they let the man on rollerblades play center immediately.
Kendrick
and I think
Green.
That, and I think that that is what is holding Tomlin back, is that he doesn't want that narrative to ever come back to him and his staff.
What do you mean?
And he let Kendrick Green start without any question. There wasn't a competition, was there?
No, not
they
really.
Look,
but it looks like they're going to do the same thing
somebody
with Fautanu, Zach. It looks like they're going to do the same thing with him.
No. Yeah, so I contradict myself there. So I don't know what it is. Maybe Broderick's not living up to the expectations. They put him on a pedestal, and he's not doing it. But I'm with you. Dan Moore is not acceptable. I can't watch it.
Well, what we saw from Jones on Saturday was unacceptable. It was an F-minus performance.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Broderick Jones, but he just really came into this game and looked uninterested. His technique wasn't very good. He left his chest wide open, was really soft, played high, and he allowed Rousseau to really get into him and push him around. It wasn't like Rousseau put some good moves on him. He just bullied him, and that's the thing that's tough to watch right now.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. That's Chris Hoke, who we love on the show.
I got a tweet.
Uninterested and soft on Broderick Jones,
it's
dude.
It's not good. Would you agree that you consider Alex Cazora over at Steelers Depot a ball knower? He is the rarest of ball knowers.
I'm a big fan of his.
So
I don't know
I.
why he doesn't like me, but
he doesn't follow me. Does he follow you?
See, this is what we're getting into. If someone doesn't follow you, do you take that as a gauge that they don't like you?
I don't, or I try not to, because I realize how arrogant it is for me to follow somebody in like Pittsburgh sports media, and then if they don't follow back, think, who the hell do they think they are?
Yep.
He's got like 20,000 more followers than me. He can do what he wants. But I do think, I'll give him credit, because I've heard it from former, Arthur Motes used to tell us this about him, I think, was actually the guy. He was, like, shocked at how much Alex knew for having clearly never played. He's like, he's obviously talked to people who know what they're talking about.
Yep.
And educated him well. He says, this is my two cents on Broderick Jones. This makes me nervous, because I think Alex is smart, like I just said. One, elbow injury / bulky brace clearly bothering him. Two, punches ineffective and inaccurate. Hands are too high and wide. His chest is exposed. Hoke just said that in the clip. Three, he's using a two-hand punch instead of independent hands because of the injury. Then his hands get knocked down and he's done. He writes, moving him to left tackle doesn't fix it. So somebody writes, logically, if he's hurt, basically, why not take the time to get him back? Alex, I speculated rest might not be the cure. It could be surgery he's holding off on, but I couldn't say for sure. If any of that, up to and including he's that injured, is true, they can't put him out there.
Well, that would also make the comment after the game about him wanting to go meet with
the doctors actually be on the up and up in
a way.
Yeah,
and not him trying to just skirt questions. But honestly, that's even scarier.
Well, that's what I mean. Him being potentially hampered by a real injury that doesn't allow him to play the position, that would be very bad.
And that would allow for Dan Moore to have nine lives like a hairless cat and come back and play a bunch of games this year.
I'll say one more. If we do think he was kind of annoyed that he didn't get veteran lineman treatment, I would be even more annoyed if I were him and I were playing compromised already.
Good point.
And they sat and they kept trotting me out there.
I mean, he played a ton in these first two games. I think he's played more than any Steelers offensive player in the first two games of the preseason. 412-928-9370. A lot of people want to talk. Let's go to Tim in Glen Willard. Hello, Tim.
How you doing today?
Hi.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Justin Field thing.
Sure.
So apparently nobody in Pittsburgh has NFL Network because I've seen Justin Field play over the last 3 years. I don't understand the fascination with this guy. He's a bum.
I mean, he's one of the best running quarterbacks in history, and he's got a ton of physical gifts, and I think people always are going to be fascinated by guys like that.
Yeah, but he couldn't hit a broadside of a barn with a football. That's the biggest requirement of a quarterback in the NFL. He can't read a defense.
All right, well, then how did he throw 40 touchdown passes in his first three seasons?
How many interceptions did he throw in that period?
He threw 30.
Exactly.
How many interceptions? Hold on a second.
Hold on a second.
Let me just finish my point.
How many fumbles did he have?
We'll get to that in a second. Great stat. But you brought up throwing and not his running with the ball or handling of the ball when it's not thrown.
It's all part of the
position.
Hold
on. That's fine. But let me just give you this stat. How many interceptions do you think Ben had in his first 3 years?
Not sure.
43.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many touchdowns did he have?
He had more, but you said interceptions, and I'm saying he threw a lot more than Fields, bro. A lot more.
How many wins did he have?
Why does that matter?
Well, that's what it's all about.
It's all about winning.
Justin Fields has not won a quarter of the games he's played.
He was on a team that was deliberately trying to lose games up until last year.
And what did they do as soon as they got the chance with him?
They went with Caleb Williams, who is regarded as a better prospect.
For a sixth-round pick.
I know. That's a good point.
And what did his former coaches say?
I don't know. You tell me.
He was hard to watch on the practice field because he couldn't read defenses.
So shouldn't those coaches have been trying to help coach him up better? I've got people in Chicago who said Luke Getsy ruined him.
Hey, you can try to coach somebody, but if they aren't capable of learning it, I don't.
Be their quarterback this year?
Russell Wilson.
Do you think Russ is going to be good?
No.
So why do you want him at quarterback?
Because he'll be better than Justin
Fields. So if you could have had anybody that the Steelers had access to, who would you have taken? Are you another Mason Rudolph guy?
No. No, for God's sake. So, I just don't think they had an option to pick up a quarterback this year that would have got him over them.
Fair enough. That's fine, Tim. I mean, you make some good points. The guy did get MVP votes 2 years ago.
I don't think Fields is very good in balance. I am a big Fields skeptic, but to just chuck everything that might be interesting and potentially good about him out the window in service of he'll never be good, we already know this. I'd hate to know what Tim and Glenn Willard, the only other person I've ever heard call from there was Glenn and Glenn Willard. I'd hate
Donnie
to know what he thinks of Kenny Pickett.
Fishy. He thought it was a story.
Well, because anytime you hear somebody calling from Glenn Willard, you think okay, that's such a tiny little area.
He thought it was a prank. He wanted to warn us. Here's Nathan in Carnegie. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to give you a props, Tony, for how you handled that first caller. That's what you got to do to your standard basket case, classic American idiot. As far as the Justin Fields conversation goes, I feel like we got to roll with him. Because if we go with Fields and we end up going 8-8 again, even getting a playoff win, we're going to have to pay him or we're just going to be in the same pick in the 20s again.
Wait, you said if we go with Wilson or if we go with Fields in that scenario?
If we go with Wilson.
Okay.
If we go with Fields and we win a playoff game, at least we know we got. You know, he's decent.
I need to see Fields. Like, if they win with him basically running like a modified offense that has a ton of design quarterback run, I think that has a shelf life, man. And I do need to see him get a lot better at reading things quicker and making accurate, good throws and good decisions.
But if the shelf life is him quarterbacking the Steelers into his late 20s, I'm fine with that. It's signing him to an extension that would carry him into his 30s, and they wouldn't do that even if he had a good year as their quarterback. Like, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's built to last into his early 30s and mid-30s like a lot of these upper echelon quarterbacks. I think he'll probably be I think he'll be a shadow of himself when he's in his early 30s. Because I agree. I think that it has to be an offense that's built around his skill set. I'm not convinced that Chicago really ever committed to that with him. As far as Wilson goes, if he has the season that the caller laid out, I would give him an extension for the following year.
Well, there's
if he gets into the playoffs, they win a playoff game, and he's good, he's my quarterback in 2025 at 36 years old.
Because you have no other option. There's nobody that's going to manifest themselves that you...
Well, you'd still have Fields because Fields would have never played, but I wouldn't just turn to him. I wouldn't kick... You don't kick a good-looking woman out of bed. You don't kick a good quarterback off the team. Like, who are you to do that?
Well, I think there are a lot of people that have... The well has been poisoned on Russ because it's, Sean Payton wanted so badly to get away from him that they paid all that dead money, or they ate all that dead money. And I think that's just ruined the idea that he could be good for some people.
After watching that preseason game, UPMC wants you to know your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. That music means it's time for the return of Donnie's Balls. They are back. They are bigger and better than ever. And he has three of them. And he's ready to hand them out for preseason game number 2. Bills 9, Steelers 3.
Donnie, before you hand out the balls here, just a little open-ended question. We've all watched preseason football for a long time. We understand it's kind of the chore part of this job because these games mean nothing, etc. Where does that one rank in the pantheon of bad preseason games? It's in my top 5, and I've tried to forget the other 5. I can't remember watching a less interesting, more poorly played game in my entire adult life.
You mean like all around, not just on the Steelers?
Oh, yeah, just the game. Hey, I told Pony this. So I was out Saturday night, and I didn't watch the game live, and I didn't really make any effort to check who won. It's a preseason game. I watched it last night not knowing who won the game. I sat there, and I watched the game only knowing that it was 6-3 well into the second half.
I'm still
half.
Surprised you got by that with just the amount of times stuff gets thrown out on social media, like not knowing who won.
I made no effort to check. Anyway, Donnie.
Zach Frazier going to get one of them. He's going to be the starting center now the entire season because Nate Herbig's injury makes that pretty much a no-brainer. However, I don't feel very worried about the middle of the offensive line. We just got done talking about one of the bookends of the offensive line. I don't feel too worried with this kid in the game. Now, was he perfect? No. Second time playing an NFL game, but I feel like he did what he had to do. Injury aside to Herbig, I thought that Frazier was going to solidify his spot on Saturday, and that's what he did.
Malsy, give me a PFF grade on Frazier. Here is Tomlin on the rookie center's performance.
Nate's got an injury that's being continually evaluated. I think he's getting a second opinion. I want to wait to that. I'll give you guys some information probably the next time we come together. But I was largely satisfied with the work that I saw from Zach.
And for Herbig, it's a torn rotator cuff, so his season is over before it even starts. I think Zach Frazier will end up starting more games at center for the Steelers than Maurkice Pouncey.
So that's your Jones-level prediction for him.
Pouncey also ended his career.
He also was hurt, what,
kind
two separate
of
seasons?
Yeah.
He lost an entire season. Yeah, okay. What did he start, like 100-ish games? 110?
Rookie in 2010.
I think he actually started like 130.
Was done by 2020. Missed 2 years. So I'm going to guess that he played 138 games.
134.
Okay.
Zach Frazier, after a 73 grade, pretty much across the board, the same grade offense, pass block, run block against Houston, a 52.5 overall offensive grade from PFF, but they loved his pass blocking.
Oh.
82.3. They detested his run blocking, 45.7. The thing about him that just stands out to me, Donnie, that is nice, he's clearly big enough for the position. He's not a small guy. He's clearly strong enough for the position. The rumors of Braden Faoko working him over at camp appear to have been greatly exaggerated. And he gets out there and moves. He doesn't move like Pouncey did, but he moves like a guy who's light on his feet. It's like a, I won't even say a poor man's Tyler Linderbaum when I think about it, because all the similarities are there, right?
He's the bigger, wrestler's leverage.
Yeah, he's a little bigger than Linderbaum, actually, who is undersized, but is just a mauler. But I think this guy is going to be a very good, I think he could sneak onto an all-pro team at some point in his Steelers career.
Game ball number two.
The other Herbig, Nick Herbig, gets this one. He got more shine because I'm assuming the wet field and the atmosphere there kept Watt and Hayward out, Watt especially, since we didn't really hear about that going into the game. I just assume they gave him the Josh Allen treatment. 1.5 sacks, a couple of quarterback hits, a tackle for loss. He's an undersized player too, if we are talking about those types. This guy gets after it. I mean, and he was out there against first teamers. He wasn't out there the whole time against guys that we won't see playing in NFL stadiums.
He looked really good.
Here's Pop describing his big play.
And the Chiefs in their playoff games from 1 year ago. So 3rd and 3 now as the Steelers try to get off the field. Trubisky back. Pressure up the middle, and he goes down. Nick Herbig is the man back there. Shot in quickly with that speed of his. He gets the sack. That's a 7-yard loss, and it will force a Buffalo punt.
Big play right there. Terrell Austin calls a slot blitz. He wants to see what Herbig is going to do right there. He's able to get inside leverage right to the quarterback, and they want to see more of that. He wants to be part of that rotation, and a great start here tonight for Herbig.
I love the guy. I would have been comfortable and totally fine if Alex Highsmith had been used as the trade chip to land a big wide receiver, because I think Herbig is a blooming, burgeoning star. I think he has a chance to be a very, very good player for the Steelers, even though he is small. He is a mini-me version of TJ Watt.
I mean, they got to keep just taking Wisconsin guys, don't they?
Benton, Watt, Herbig. I love all three. I don't disagree. You know, take the Wisconsin offensive player. Actually, take their
Russell
offensive
Wilson.
Line and then running backs.
What about Russ
and
Wilson?
Russell Wilson.
If anyone was curious, just for sickos only, Dan Moore, 58.8 grade, 84
highest
pass
one.
Blocking grade, 85 pass blocking grade, 41.6 run blocking. My man Broderick truly had a day. 50. 40.8, 54.7.
Who's even putting those out there for PFF now? Everybody's gone.
Data people behind the scenes who actually do these are
those
still there.
Those guys are just the loyal soldiers.
Well, Steve and Sam Monson and guys like that were their front-facing talent.
Speaking of pomp, awful announcing. Screw off. You want to talk about making a mountain out of a molehill? They thought that Bob was disrespectful towards Mitch Trubisky. Did you guys see that article?
I did. I saw it where they just played the clip of Bob saying, and that basically, like, a terrible throw is why he's not here anymore.
This is what Bob said, and this is what launched, like, a viral tweet about how Pomp was, I guess, unprofessional in the game on Saturday.
Trubisky now over the middle, looking deep, and it's going to be picked off right there. That's Miles Killebrew, who has it for the Steelers. Killebrew, who's one of the best in special teams, trying to make a name for himself in the safety position. An overthrow by Trubisky, not sure what happened. We've seen a lot of that with Trubisky in Pittsburgh over the years. One of the reasons why he's no longer here, but clearly an overthrow in Killebrew has to be extremely
I think it's happy. Completely 110% fair.
So do I.
I mean, we want to talk about bad passes in that game. None worse than that one. I mean, Killebrew could have called
it a fair
catch.
Well, it was a good pass. He just threw to the wrong guy. I mean, he hit him right in
Killebrew was wide open, yeah.
Right. The guy could have called for a fair catch. He was the only one around.
Awful announcing, if it was ever a good website, hasn't been one for like damn near 15 years. That site has descended, has been on the downturn
also,
for a while.
Also, you want a Pop preseason drinking game for Saturday?
Yes.
Do a shot every time he says, this guy, quote, trying to make a name for himself, and he will be blotto by the third quarter.
Well, we love that part, him trying to put the little guy over.
Oh, Donnie and I found a Hall of Fame guy trying to prove himself who did get a little regular season run today. Grove City's R.J. Bowers in 2001.
That old game we pulled up.
Number three, Don. Actually, your number one star.
Greg Rousseau.
Yeah, I knew.
The rag doll himself. They could have had the Aerosmith song playing if he wanted to. 2.5 sacks.
We can't do that anymore, so let's not play it.
3 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for loss. I mean, he's a good player. I do think he's genuinely a pretty good player.
Yeah,
not an elite edge rusher in the game.
You pick him 30th overall,
man,
he's got... Yeah. He dog walked Broderick Jones.
He had five sacks last year. I mean, he's not, to me, a big time player, and he's okay. And that's why I think his performance.
PFF doesn't even have a grade for him right now for that game.
Just infinity. The pass rush grade was at the infinity sign.
C. Jones, Broderick.
Here is Tomlin on that whole situation.
Absolutely. You know, in order to do that, you got to win possession downs. And we're just not winning enough of those right now. And so, you know, that problem lingers.
Yes, it does.
Like a stale fart. All right. Donnie, guess what I'm doing this year before Pony gets us out here? I'm tracking all of your game balls throughout the year. We're going to see who you were giving game balls to in the preseason in week one and all the way through to the playoffs, big guy, assuming they get there.
Coming up, it's our PM team Steelers weekend review. We, according to one big insider in San Francisco, we know what the Steelers will be giving up for Brandon Ayuk whenever the 49ers are ready to pull the trigger on the deal. And what Kabali said about that while he was eating wings and drinking beer over at Archie's Saturday night. He was not in the press box. He was at a watch party. Everything's coming up, Mark, man.
Has anyone had a more unbelievable last 2 weeks than Kabali?
I know.
I mean, the guy went from the outhouse, the penthouse to the outhouse to the even bigger penthouse.
There's like 1,000-word articles by him that are now just on my Twitter.
He got a blue check. Well, when we were wondering what his writing would be, I thought to myself, Twitter, when you get the blue check and pay for it, has a feature that allows you to, they wanted people to start posting article-length things on there.
Well, he's definitely doing that, man.
He is, I know.
To his credit.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.